So as with last week, this week we are in this 21st chapter of John. For those who read the story kind of, you know, front to back, or even read chapter 20, which has the resurrection and then the appearance to the disciples, including Thomas, John 20 seems to have a good ending, right? It ends with Jesus charging the disciples. It ends with a reminder of why the gospel was written. Seems to have a good ending. So why chapter 21? Many think that this was added a bit later by a redactor, that is, someone who took some other information and kind of dressed it up or changed it slightly to seem to fit a little bit better. Maybe this redactor had a hand in some of the earlier stories. We're not exactly sure. It is scripture. It is in our Bible. So John 21, we consider again part of the gospel. So I like to think of this chapter as kind of the director's cut. If you know about movies, every now and then there'll be a director's come out. It's not exactly throwaway, it's not B-roll, but it didn't seem right for the actual cinematic release. So it's for those who are a little more interested or love the movie, want a little bit more content. John 21 seems like the director's cut. We have a lot of the images, a lot of the themes that John has been working with come up again. Remember last week it was the catch of the abundant fish, 153 fish. And then there was the grace that we ended on a note that Jesus was having breakfast with Peter. Peter, who the last time was gathered around a charcoal fire, was in denial of who he was to Jesus, or who Jesus was to him. In our text today, Jesus seems to take Peter aside and begin to double down on this revisiting of those denials. You get a sense that maybe this is exactly what Peter needed in order to move on. Poor Peter, right? Peter, reactive Peter, excited Peter. So Jesus takes him and he uses his full name. We haven't heard that for quite a few chapters. Why is Jesus getting all formal with Peter here? Some think it's back to the idea that, you know, they're kind of reintroducing themselves, or the fact that Jesus has said the sheep know his name, and so he's trying to get Peter's attention with the fullness of that name. And three times Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" And Peter answers three times fully in the affirmative. "Yes, I do love you." At one point, he gets a little, challenged with this. He's, "God, you know I love you. Jesus, you know I love you." And each time there's this pronouncement of love, Jesus then says to Peter, "First feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, then feed my sheep." Again, this is kind of like raw meat for those who want to find meaning in the scripture where perhaps there isn't a whole lot. The feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, just really saying the same thing in three different ways. There's not a lot to the language other than repetition. Jesus just asking the same question, giving the same charge, three slightly different ways. What Jesus is doing in this, it's not just forgiving Peter for the denial, not just for acknowledging him in this still a relationship that's defined by love, but now Jesus is giving Peter a vocation. That is something to do now with this newfound faith in the fullness of who Jesus is. Grace gives Peter a future. He's not merely forgiven for the past, but he's forgiven so that he then may go on and do the things to which Jesus is charging him, calling him to do. Peter sees grace in many different ways, experiences grace in many different ways. The grace that receives him after his denial, after his failure. The grace that then changes him into the man that is standing before Jesus today, that can know in certain terms, proclaim his love for Jesus. And then grace sends him. Because there are more that need to hear the word. Just as Peter is forgiven and loved and charged, so there are others who need to hear the word of grace and what that grace has done for Peter. Do you love me? Peter charges, or Jesus charges Peter to love what Jesus loves, that is the world, that is those who are straying, those who are lost. The charge, the vocation that is given to Peter is to love as Jesus loves, to love the world as God loves the world. Then it ends on a rather ominous note. Some interesting language. We think some of this comes from idioms of the day. What is all this about when you're young, you go where you want, when you're old, you're bound? But it does have, parenthetically, a more deeper explanation. The legend, the story goes that Peter would be martyred for his belief. For answering his call, his vocation, he would die a martyr's death. And the way that the story goes, Peter was crucified upside down. Like his Lord, he was crucified, but not as an imitation. He knew his place. He knew that what Jesus did was Jesus' own to do. Peter dies as a witness, as a martyr. So, again, this ominous note. Love, unconditionally. Love those whom I have called you to love, which is all people. And no, it may lead you to some unpleasant experiences, perhaps even death. Again, a callback is in order here. The farewell discourse, good old Peter, excited Peter, I can do anything, Peter. When Jesus said he was going to the cross, Peter says, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow. You will not follow. Now that Jesus has died and has been raised from the dead, has appeared to the disciples, now comes that follow me. Now that Peter has experienced the resurrected Lord, has understood the profound nature of that resurrection and the life that it gives, the abundant life for the world, now Peter can follow and does follow, will follow. After denial, after resurrection, after a breakfast, after restoration, Peter hears the call again. But Peter first has a life to lead. All right, a life that is faithful to the gospel calling. Peter will do much before that martyrdom. I struggle with that notion of martyrdom sometimes. Maybe you have in the past as well. The truth is, I do not like pain. I do not like discomfort. This notion of dying for one's faith or being tortured for one's faith, I always felt, given that circumstances for myself, I would buckle rather quickly. Why is it this call to martyrdom has been so much in the imagination of Christians over the years? Martyrdom itself means witness, to give witness to something. And sometimes I guess it is calling for people's death. That when people get to the end of faithful life, or what a faithful life can react to the circumstances they find themselves in, perhaps a faithful death is the only faithful response. But what I find a little bit of comfort in is that is not the primary call of a Christian. There are those over the years who have behaved that way or have pointed to others to behave that way. But truly, the gospel message is that God wishes abundant life for all people, including those he's called to his service. The call to martyrdom is a rare call. It's a call not to be sought, but it is a call to be received, perhaps, if and when that time comes. Part of my reflections on this, and while I'm maybe spending a little more time on this, is because this theme has come up a couple of times over the course of working our way through John. And if Jesus is to be our example, one thing I noticed is that Jesus has a timing to his ministry. And there are times earlier in the gospel where he has, shall we say, the opportunity to give his life as a faithful witness as to what God is doing through him. But he says this is not the time. And he leaves the scene. I'm not going to say he flees, but he leaves the scene purposely. It is not his time to die. It is not his time for that faithful witness. And again, that's where I take a bit apart. God doesn't call us all to die for the gospel. God doesn't call us all to die for the love of Jesus. But we are all called to live for the love of Jesus. Right? To be the ones that God reaches out to and receives in grace. To be the ones whose lives are offered up to be molded and to be changed, to be sanctified and made holy for God's purpose. Then to be the ones that are sent out into the world, charged by God to call people to him through Jesus. Three times Jesus asks, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yep, I love you. You know that I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I thought we established that. I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Why do you keep asking? You know that I love you." And so Peter will go on. We will hear stories of Peter in Acts of the Apostles, in mentions in some of the epistles. Peter did just what Peter was charged to do. What we are charged to do. Follow Jesus. To love those whom Jesus loved. And at the end, be willing to give all to the God that gave all.